Well, the Colts did not get the start they were looking for. They lost to the Jags. Did the Jags hire Ken Whisenhunt in the offseason to win game one?
Somebody on this show asked the question last week, are they really that bad? And you guys were like, I think they're absolutely
bad. Are you willing to go there?
I think that they're that bad.
And I do too.
And they're
it'll play out.
They're that dumb to screw up and screw up getting the number one pick.
What I think. My point was, after talking to our guy in Jacksonville, who swayed me on this, he kept saying he was mystified why they released Leonard Fournette, the Jaguars, because he was like, I just don't think they're that bad. You know,
you did say that. You also said you praised the Jets, and you thought the Jets, how they look.
I texted you guys at one point yesterday.
You said some very positive things about the Jets.
I texted you guys yesterday during that time, and I was ready to recant. I was ready to recant at that point. The Jets look terrible.
Well, the reason I bring up the Colts is now they have the loss to the Jags.
Oh, man.
And now they have lost Marlon Mack for the season.
Ugh.
Torn Achilles.
And while
Yikes.
He's not spectacular, he's a steady.
Not spectacular.
No, he's not spectacular, but he's
a
steady.
He rushes for over 1,000 yards every year.
But remember, our Colts guy was saying, hey, these other guys are better. That Marlon Mack is good, but not great.
The guy they had running the ball yesterday.
Naheem Hines?
Hines.
Well, he was more of a pass
guy. He's
catcher,
always been kind of that third down guy.
He scored two.
Yeah.
His role just increased. Wow.
So the Colts, the sexy pick to win the division by a lot of folks, don't look great right now.
This is always the dilemma of week one, right? Are the Colts just disastrous? They were not as good as we thought, or are the Jaguars actually better than we thought? It's probably a little bit of both. Could be just a bad game. But Phillip Rivers didn't look good. He threw some passes. We're like, where is he throwing it? Why?
I think he looked. I mean, better. He's better than Jacoby Brissett.
But this was what was thrown out there statistically last year.
He looked better than Tom Brady.
Statistically, he really wasn't better than Brissett last year because he had a bad year. Phillip Rivers did not. He takes more chances. He does it differently than Brissett was doing it, who was a little bit more just take what's there and don't take chances. We know the no risk it, no biscuit. Philosophy of Rivers, we'll see if they can marry that, but now they'll have to do it without Marlon Mack.
Let's bring in Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. Terry, what did you make of the Colts' loss to the Jags and now Marlon Mack out for the year?
Yeah, not a good way to start the season for Indy. You know, I go back to something that Floyd Reese told me a long time ago when he was talking about how there are a lot of early season upsets in the NFL. He said that for the first 3 weeks of the season, the bad teams don't know that they're bad yet, so they play really hard. Then after that, they start falling off because they realize that they're going to go 3-13 or 4-12.
You want to play them later in the season, for sure.
Yeah, it's a good point.
There's probably some sense to that.
Probably so. So let's start with the Titans' injuries. Well, how big of a deal is this going to be trying to overcome Adoree Jackson being out of the lineup? And who's going to fill that void?
Well, I mean, not having one of your two best cornerbacks, with Malcolm Butler being the other one, is certainly an issue for the Titans tonight. And Denver, even without Cortland Sutton, they have some pretty decent receivers. So that's going to be a challenge if Drew Lock can get them the football, because it's going to be Malcolm Butler and probably Jonathan Joseph, who we know is not very fast. He's going to have to get by on know-how rather than foot speed that he no longer has. And then you've got Christian Fulton, a rookie who's untested, probably going to be the nickel guy, and he's going to be a guy that's going to be put to the test as well because he missed some time in camp, valuable reps that he needed to get ready, especially since there was no semblance of an offseason. So this is a serious issue for the Titans. I think the best thing that they can hope for is that this pass rush, by bringing in Jadeveon Clowney, and granted they won't have Vic Beasley tonight, but that this pass rush that they have trumpeted as being much improved is exactly that, because it doesn't matter what you have on the back end if you're constantly in the face of the quarterback on the front end. You can overcome, you can make, cover a lot of mistakes and a lot of problems if you have a good pass rush, and I think that's going to be key tonight for the Titans.
Well, you brought up Vic Beasley. We know he's not going to be in the lineup. What do you think the level of concern over there of this signing, 1 to 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, that he's going to be able to give them anything this year?
Well, I think he'll be able to give them something because you look at it, he was on the NFI list, you know, the non-football injury list, and they could have kept him there, which means he would have been out for at least the first six games of the season. They didn't do that. They can always, right now, put him on IR, but then he would miss at least three games because of that. So I'm assuming that they feel like he's going to be back by week two or week three. Otherwise, they would have made one of those moves with him. So I think, you know, he's going to be behind, obviously, when he gets back because he hasn't done a whole lot other than a little bit of conditioning on the side. But it's going to be interesting to see what this guy can give them once he's back out there because he is behind. But I think he's probably closer than a lot of people think simply for the fact that they did not make any of those type moves with him.
Okay, the one, though, now we transition to the one that has got to be. I don't even need to ask, is there a concern? There is a concern, okay? This is off to the worst start you could possibly imagine for a first-round pick that, you know, yeah, maybe you weren't expecting him to play tonight in Denver and help you, but who knows what they're going to get out of Isaiah Wilson this season. I have to believe there is real concern because I'm not sure right now he gets it. He understands, you know, the gravity of his actions, and he's a first-round pick. He's in the NFL. He's a high-profile athlete, and the decision-making thus far out of the gates has been extremely poor. I mean, he's now been on the COVID list, what, twice? This incident over the weekend? I mean, this is a really, really bad look and bad start for Isaiah Wilson to the beginning of his professional career.
Yeah, it's been a train wreck over about the last month for Isaiah Wilson. There was the incident at TSU, which, you know, is not alarming other than the fact that you'd like your guys to kind of be on the straight and narrow with all this COVID stuff going around, and you're wanting them to stay out of harm's way and not run the risk of anything like that. And then, you know, you said twice on the COVID list already, and then the DUI over the weekend. And not just the DUI, which is bad enough, but the manner in which it was. Turning donuts at an intersection at
8 o'clock at night?
Yeah, that's not like a back road. That's a pretty main drag.
Yeah,
Charlotte.
Yeah.
Last I checked, like
pretty,
there had to be people
going.
It wasn't,
going,
it wasn't in
yeah.
Westmoreland.
It wasn't in Westmoreland. We've been to Westmoreland.
Terry's been to Westmoreland.
Terry knows a little something about Westmoreland.
He knows some back roads in Westmoreland.
Yeah. There's some roads you can probably do some donuts.
There's
in
probably roads that they do donuts
yeah.
on the weekends.
Designated donuts.
Nobody
roads.
Says a word.
To run the car into a concrete wall. I mean, you know, this is not good. I mean, you know, we don't know 100% if he wrote this, but then you saw what was put out on Instagram, I'm sure, and then deleted. You really worry about this guy's well-being and, you know, not just beyond football. You know, forget the fact that the Titans spent a first-round pick on him, and he's a guy that they want to be a cornerstone of that offensive line here in the future. Got to wonder, you know, what this guy's mental state is, what he's thinking, what his maturity level is, all those sorts of things with this string of incidents. You know, it's starting to look like some picks of old, like Pac-Man Jones or Kenny Britt, you know? I mean, you know, they've had some guys that had a little bit of a checkered past, like Taylor Lewan, Albert Haynesworth, and those guys matured and gave them, you know, some good quality play on the field. And then they've had some that they took a chance on and it didn't pan out. So, you know, you hope that somebody gets to Isaiah Wilson and helps him figure it out. You know, he's only 21 years old. You know, there are lots of people that make dumb decisions at 21 years old. His is obviously going to be a lot more magnified than the normal person because he's a first-round pick and they paid him around $6 million. So, there's, you know, there's that, but I think, you know, somebody has got to take this kid under their wing and show him the rope, show him the right way to do it, or if he needs some sort of help, give him that help and try to get him back on the right track.
Is he going to get suspended by the league?
Wouldn't rule it out. I mean, I think there is a policy in place where the league has the discretion to lend the suspension, you know, even though the guy might not be convicted of something, you know. So I think it's a situation where it's possible, yeah.
We'll have to wait and see on that. Terry McCormick is with us from TitanInsider.com. Back to the present here, Terry. Taking a look at tonight, Jarrell Casey matching up against the offensive line. I think that's going to be really fun to watch the competition there. It's you know Jarrell Casey is going to bring it tonight.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And if the Broncos, they're probably going to want to match him up where they feel like they can best use him. My guess is it will probably be the gap that's in between Ben Jones and Nate Davis, because I think if you look along the Titans' offensive line, you know, you don't know how much you want to match Casey up on Roger Saffold or Taylor Lewan, who are probably your two strongest and best linemen. So I think you probably send him over there around Nate Davis, who's, you know, lesser experienced. And it's going to be interesting to see, because you know Jarrell Casey, this is his Super Bowl. This is his Super Bowl, because he was here for a lot of years when this team wasn't very good, and then he got a taste of success over the last year or two or three of his career here. And then right as this team feels like it's on the cusp of doing some great things, they ship him off to Denver in a salary cap move.
What do you think is the plan tonight with Darrington Evans not available, of the downs that Derrick Henry doesn't play? You know, we just talked about the story with Marlon Mack. I'm uneasy in the worst-case scenario here. You don't want to ask too much of Derrick Henry. You know he's going to be a huge part of the game plan, but what about the change of pace? How do they go about those roles?
Well, Jeremy McNichols is a guy that they have on the practice squad who could be an option for them. If they want to bring him up, you know, you can do that from 2 hours before kickoff. Also, don't be surprised if they go with Kari Blasingame to get a few carries, because during training camp, you know, he's been penciled in as a fullback, and that was his role last year, but he was getting some carries in camp as the tailback when Derrick Henry was not out there in team drills and things like that. So don't rule out Kari Blasingame getting a little bit of a look.
Gotcha. And then, you know, with the whole thing, we know the game is going to start with the idea of, can the Broncos contain Henry? It's what every team is going to have to do against the Titans. They did it pretty well, probably as well as anybody last year. So what about the matchup there? We talked about Casey. What about the rest of the Broncos defense minus Von Miller?
Well, that's going to be interesting. I mean, obviously they did a very good job of keeping Derrick Henry sealed up last year, only 28 yards on 15 carries, I believe it was. So if I'm the Titans, I come out and maybe I try to establish the run with Henry early on, and if they're pounding the box, and especially without Von Miller, I give Ryan Tannehill the keys to the offense, and I say, go find A.J. Brown, go find Jonnu Smith, find them on some of those seam routes and some of those crossing routes, and get some yards after the catch against this Broncos secondary, because you would think, in theory, without Von Miller on the field, it's going to be a whole lot easier to sit back there in the pocket and find open receivers and throw the football, because there shouldn't be as much pass rush pressure as there would be normally with Miller in the lineup.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, here with us on Darren Donick and Chase. So we know that it's year two for Arthur Smith. You feel pretty confident with that. But what about the defense when it comes to play calling? We've talked to Shane Bowen a few times. He's been made available. Vrabel, I guess, is the de facto defensive coordinator. Dean Pease isn't here anymore. So what's your, I guess, confidence level in the defense as a whole going into tonight?
Well, you know, one of the things with no offseason, I feel like, you know, a lot of people are talking about this as continuity being one of the big things. And the Titans have continuity on offense, but the changes that they've made, most of them have come on the defensive side of the ball. You mentioned Dean Pease being gone. Mike Vrabel is probably going to be the guy that's going to call the plays, especially at crunch time when, you know, when it's third down and eight and they need a stunt. My guess is that Mike Vrabel is going to have the final say in what they're going to run. You know, you wonder how much they're going to be able to use Jadeveon Clowney just 1 week into being a Titan. And then, of course, we've already addressed the fact that Adoree Jackson is out. So this defense, to me, is the question mark of this team right now. And I got to think that, with all the moving parts and all, it may take them a series or two to kind of get their feet up under them so that they can settle into this game and match wits with the Denver Broncos. So the one thing I think that they're going to have going for them is that there's an inexperienced quarterback on the other side. We know that Drew Locke got a look last year in the last five, six, seven games of the year for the Broncos and performed pretty well. But to me, that's a little bit like when a guy comes up for a September call-up in baseball and he hits 350. Well, it's nice to do that for a month, but it's a whole different ball of wax when he's trying to do that over the course of a full season. I got a feeling they'll have some wrinkles to throw at Drew Locke to try and confuse him.
Then back to the offensive side of the ball. I mean, Willie brought up Derrick Henry. We know that's where the offense really begins. But how much do you anticipate with this receiving core, with Jonnu Smith getting the keys to the car as the number one tight end without Delanie Walker on the roster anymore, how much do you think that Arthur Smith wants to have Ryan Tannehill sling it tonight to try and show that, hey, this offense is more than just Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I think they wanted to have some sort of balance out there. And, you know, in the way this offense has been set up a lot, they may have to, you know, they want to run to pass, but they may have to go with the formula that they did against the Ravens and even the Patriots some in the playoffs. They may have to pass to run. And they proved in those two games that they could do that when they had to. They came out, threw the football early, loosened up the defense, and then Derrick Henry did his thing. So to me, that may be the way they have to approach it, because the Broncos know they're going to key on Derrick Henry, which should leave some one-on-one matchups in the secondary.
You know, the thin air makes it makes those footballs go a long way from a kicking perspective. They went musical chairs with kicker last year. Steven Goskowski is now the kicker for the Tennessee Titans, but he's coming off an injury. So when you use the phrase confidence level, what's your confidence level and Steven Goskowski going into this one?
Well, I mean, I guess based on his past track record, you should be very confident. But like you said, coming off an injury, that certainly is a little bit of a question mark, and we haven't seen any preseason games. Now, I don't think, you know, jitters or anything like that is going to get to Steven Goskowski the way it might to a young kicker like a Greg Joseph or a Tucker McCann who was battling for the job in training camp. So to me, it's just a matter of how healthy is Steven Goskowski and how much has he kicked this offseason in anticipation of getting another opportunity. I wouldn't worry too much about it unless he's got to kick a field goal maybe longer than 50 yards. Then you might have a little bit of concern to know whether he's healthy and ready to go. But as you mentioned, the thin air, maybe, you know, 50 yards will be more like a 45-yarder under normal conditions that he'd be able to knock it through.
What do you see happening tonight?
I think this is a game the Titans should win. Now, they may not, but I think this is a game that if you fancy yourself as one of the best teams in the AFC, that you can go toe-to-toe with Kansas City and Baltimore, both of whom were very impressive in week one. I think if you're the Titans, you have to go out there, win this football game, and come home 1-0 with Jacksonville in the home opener next week.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out late tonight. Terry, thanks for the visit. We appreciate it. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you guys.
All right, that's Terry McCormick. TitanInsider.com is where you can find his work. We will come back and discuss more of tonight's tilt in Denver. We'll do that on the other side. We're live at Legends, Vanderbilt Legends Golf Club out here for Brent Peterson's golf tournament where he's going to raise great money for Parkinson's disease. We'll do that, talk a little bit more about that to wrap up the first hour next on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.